Welcome to Booktub, you're on. Today we are talking about fairy tale retellings. I'm Bronwyn and I'm joined by Tracy, Tanea and Sarah. Hi guys.
Hey.
Hello. Yo.
Okay, so fairy tale retellings. Did you say yo?
Yo.
Yo everybody.
Started.
Booktopia here. I'm keeping that, Ian, I like it.
Thank you so much. My chair is really squeaky too. Okay, moving on.
Fairy tale retellings, everyone. Why are there so many fairy tale retellings?
And why do I never get sick of them?
Right.
Like, this is a genuine question. I really want to unpack why it is that there's no limit to the number of times I will read Beauty and the Beast, for example. I will read it always.
Yeah.
In any way that it comes out.
There's always a happy ending.
But
that's the thing, though.
Is it?
Because think about one of the most recent ones that I've read. What was it? Hunted?
Yeah, I love Hunted. Hunted was amazing. Hunted by Megan Spinner.
It was like a happily ever after, though. Was it?
Yeah, it was. It had a happy ending. But to me, that's not why I'm in it. If that was all I wanted, there's any number of, like, romance books that will always give you a happy ending. But there's something particularly that draws me to the fairy tale ones. Right. Like,
and so these are stories that, I mean, you'll see this kind of style of story, like you'll see a kind of a Beauty and the Beast vibe in other stories and other movies and books and things like that, but it's not a retelling. So why is it specifically these ones? Why is it the Cinderella story specifically, you know, rags to riches that just gets everybody?
I don't know, but I just want to apologize for that big slurpy sound I just made with my tea.
And I warned you, like,
I'm
slurpy
sorry,
sounds.
I can't talk about fairy tales without a cup of tea. So, like, here's my working theory. I think there's something about, so fairy tales are a shared experience. Mm-hmm. We all grow up exposed to these stories. We all have, like, a working knowledge of the basic, most popular fairy tales.
Yep.
And, you know, that creates this sort of interesting storytelling space where you go into it, you already know the story. And so the thing that we're in it for is not what's going to happen, but how will it happen this time, and what clever little takes
can be done.
All
the characters
change. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, and how, I mean, that it's not just fairy tales, I guess. It's for any kind of retelling, anything where we already know the story, like Jane Austen retellings, all of it. It puts in a whole wealth of, like, knowledge there that the author doesn't have to, like, the reader goes in knowing stuff.
Mm.
Am I making any kind
it
of
does,
sense?
It counts for books and movies. If you look at movie remakes of, so like the most recent Beauty and the Beast, you look at then how the actress who plays Belle will bring something new to it, which it always inevitably does, in my opinion.
Yeah, and so an author will always bring something new to
they will.
Book retelling. It's this phenomenon of being able to just have the same story again and again and again and again, and people literally never get sick of it. Like, some people do. They are not in this room.
Yeah. What I find interesting is we love fairy tales so much, but if a guy acted the way these princes do, like if you think Cinderella, Sleeping Beauty, Beauty and the Beast.
The Disney ones, yeah.
Yeah,
I wouldn't like
you would find them, you'd be looking for a AVO, or you'd be...
Or if you think of Cinderella, I'm like, mate, how do you not remember what she looked like? I know she's wearing a mask, but it's not like it covered her entire face.
That's fairy tales.
And
they don't make logical sense.
And putting slippers on redheads and brunettes, and you're like, you know she was blonde.
Maybe she dyed her hair.
She wasn't wearing a wig. Like, come on.
Yeah, so if we talk about the nature of fairy tales themselves, these stories don't make logical sense at all.
Beauty and the Beast. Like, you think about it. Your guy holds you captive in his
castle.
What's the
syndrome? What's it called?
You know, Stockholm Syndrome.
Stockholm Syndrome.
How people are so quick to slap Stockholm Syndrome on Beauty and the Beast. I think that, there are ways that you could tell that story now, which would be very Stockholm Syndrome-y, but the core value in the Beauty and the Beast fairy tale, like where it actually... the moral it's trying to tell you or whatever is about inner beauty.
Yeah.
And you don't, like, I would like, this is what I want. Can someone please write a Beauty and the Beast retelling, and just as an aside, however you write it, I'll love it. But if you could especially write one that doesn't have any element of the beauty being held captive. Like, maybe she's just there because she needs to be there or wants to be there for other reasons.
Have you seen again, it's a movie, but have you seen Beastly?
That's a book series.
Yeah. And
she's held captive. They're always held captive.
Yes and no. It's not. It's held captive, but for her own safety. It's,
yeah, yeah,
it's
but
kind of
it
different.
Doesn't... That, whatever the reason, no. If you're holding someone captive, that's bad. I'd be really interested to see, because to me, that's not what I go into it for. I'm not into it because, oh, the beast is holding her captive and she can't get away. And
she falls in love with him. It's amazing.
Yeah, no, I'm just really into the idea of a love story where you've got this huge impediment of, you know, that one person, one half of the, like, romance has every reason to think that they're never going to be able to get there, you know, like, whether it's because they're ugly or whether it's because they're just, like, some impediment standing in the way that has to be gotten through by inner beauty. That's what I like about Beauty and the Beast. Let's talk about other fairy tales.
So what are your favourite fairy tales? So is yours Beauty and the Beast?
The one I go back to the most is Beauty and the Beast. But there are others that I really like. But we've talked about Beauty and the Beast. Here's a confession. I don't love Cinderella.
See, I actually would say that's probably one of my favourites.
The Rags to Riches.
I love Rags to Riches.
And I love Snow White.
See,
but I feel like Snow White hasn't been retold well.
Yeah, no, it hasn't been retold. So. And I don't think the original story is that great. I feel like maybe you could spin it a bit better.
I'm trying to think of a really good... We should at some point get to our favourite retellings, but like
I can't actually think of...
We've all got lists. Great. I love it. I can't think of very many Snow White ones that spring to mind.
Well, no.
I have two on my list. I wouldn't call them favourites, but they were slightly different, but they weren't amazing. So.
Okay. So Snow White, Cinderella, Beauty and the Beast.
But I would say, I know we were discussing this yesterday, Sarah, as what counts as a fairy tale, because I would actually say my favourite fairy tale is Peter Pan.
It counts.
Because people think traditional, like the fairy, like the princess or the, you know, like Snow White and Beauty and the Beast and all that kind of stuff. They come from different times and they've got different sources.
Cinderella was Alice in Wonderland.
And I just read Christina Henry, The Lost Boy, which is a Peter Pan retelling, but from the point of Captain Hook.
Yeah.
Prior to the events of the Peter Pan fairy tale.
Peter Pan comes in.
And it's a very dark book. It's not something I would give a young child. It's maybe older readers. But I never thought a book would make me hate Peter Pan. But this book does. Mm-hmm. So,
even the original, which I've said before, the original Peter Pan story, which most people have not actually read, that I've encountered, I wouldn't say I love Peter. I would say he kind of is a little bit disturbing.
Yeah.
He's interesting because of who he is, but the reason you love him is because of the cartoons that we grew up with, and he's just this. But if you really think about
it... Yeah, he's like Puck from A Midsummer Night's Dream. Mischief and stuff.
Yeah, if you actually, as a kid, it sort of goes over your head, but if you think about it as in a really sort of analytical way, you're like... He's a little bit messed up, and he's not particularly friendly. He's controlling, and he just wants Wendy to stay with him, and everyone needs to be a child. It's really that.
He's like an ancient god of mischief.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And but that is still my favorite fairy tale. Then I would say, and then maybe Cinderella.
So that one you mentioned, Trace, that's off from the point of view of Captain Hook. This is another attraction to retellings, is that sometimes it's not just a straight retelling of the story. Sometimes it's taking a different character and running with their perspective, like with Gregory Maguire books, who wrote Wicked and The Ugly Stepsister. Yeah. And he's like Confessions of an Ugly Stepsister. he's great at taking like the villain character or maybe one of the side characters.
Do they make you sympathize with them? Story.
It's just a different... I think that's just another attraction of the retelling way of
that's
storytelling.
My favourite thing about retellings is to see how an author is going to take their own spin on it, whether it be from a different character, in a slightly different world, in a different time. Like that's my favourite thing, to see how how it can be adapted into... The same story can be adapted into so many different things.
And I would love to understand why that's so fascinating to me, because I also love covers in music. It's the same... It's the same thing. It's like taking something that you know and making
it better,
unique, or putting a unique
sometimes
spin on
better.
It.
I think it's like revisiting the characters that you love, that you fall in love with them in the character and the storyline, and then seeing different dimensions of each of those characters as different authors put their own take on the events that sort of around that basic sort of substrate.
But also in a lot of fairy tales, you can't really say that these characters have personalities that we know from the original storyteller. Yeah. Like, Cinderella has no personality in the source material. She's just a girl. She's dealing with a lot of problems at home.
She's like, that's one way to put it.
She's just putting up with stuff, getting
being
stuff
a slave,
up. Along
know.
Comes, like things, the characters in fairy tales are like just sort of archetypes and they don't, so it's like
they're
a fresh
vanilla.
Palette. It's like, here's a little avatar. We know the situation we're in. We know what's probably going to happen to them in a broad sense, but who are they to you, retelling author? Like, they can put their own personality on the Cinderella character and make her someone totally different.
I think what's also interesting as well is, like, with so many retellings, you kind of, if you read them through different stages of life, like, have, as you mature, you can take different things from the story. So, like, obviously Disney is very... like, it's a children's take on it. Like, I know we all watch it and we still love it, but it is a children's take. Whereas 100%. Some of these adaptations, like, you see a completely different side just because someone's retold it in a different way. So that's another interesting layer that comes with retellings.
Because one thing we have to remember is the fairy tales that we know and love aren't the originals. Because
they're Disney.
They're very... a lot of them were very, very dark.
They weren't written for kids.
They weren't written for kids,
I think. Sarah and I, we looked up Cinderella yesterday and we think the first one was written in 7 BC.
Yeah, but that's like a story that's barely recognisable as Cinderella, but it has Cinderella elements.
It's
like the
rest. That's where they think it started, and then
so
it's
can
just
trace these things.
Yeah,
it's adapted
like,
over
I
the
think,
years.
You know, the 1700s, 1800s is when a lot of these sort of became
the versions we know,
more recognisable as the versions we know. Yeah. But even like if you go back to Hans Christian Andersen or the Brothers Grimm and read some of their tellings, they're not. Still not the same sort of story that we see.
They're often
you know,
more violent.
Disney,
often...
And depending on your perspective, I mean, okay, one of my favourites is Alice in Wonderland, which is gets classified as a fairy tale. But that's not necessarily a book that's like the Disney version of Alice in Wonderland. It's all sort of light and hearted and everything else.
It's
kind of
a bit crazy at the same time.
Yeah, it's all a bit creepy. And, you know, and like Christina Henry, who wrote The Lost Boy, has also done retellings of Alice in Wonderland and The Red Queen, which is Alice through the Looking Glass. But she has Alice as being a inmate in an insane asylum.
Right.
And the Mad Hatter escapes with her.
Which makes sense, and that's what I love about retellings is that you take the basic building blocks of the story and you try and apply like logic to it from our times, and then you've got a new story that's familiar but new. I don't know, I just I would love to understand, because a part of me is like, Sarah, maybe you've got one life, maybe you have spent enough time reading versions of the same story. Like, maybe I don't need to read another one. But then another one comes along and it's always amazing.
But if they're always doing something different, then it's still a different story. Like, it's the same story but different. Like, if it was doing the exact same thing, like retelling in the same way, then you'd get over it. But because they're always bringing something new, there's always something to grip
it's
you
really
and
interesting.
To keep
I know.
Yeah. Reading.
I just,
other people judge me, but I don't judge myself.
I don't judge myself. I just want to I want to understand why I keep coming back to these stories and why I always get something out of it. Should we talk about our favourites?
Yes. I'll go first.
You go first.
My favourites are the Lunar Chronicles by Marissa Meyer. So that is made up of Cinder, Scarlet, Cress, and Winter. Because it's sci-fi retellings, and I just think it's fun.
I think I want to read that.
There's cyborgs, it's set in space. Like, I know Sarah, I don't think, likes them, and I know she has her issues with them, but, like, they are so much fun, and it's just such a different take on any of them that, like, even though they are a little crazy enough, they're, like, they're just so enjoyable to read.
See, it's not that I don't like them. I read the whole series. It's fairy tales. Of course I'm going to read it. But it's just that, and I love the idea of, you don't often come across the fairy tales retold in space
and with cyborgs.
Yeah. Like, that's a combination that I just absolutely love, and I'd love to see more of it. But yeah, I won't go into a critique of it, but they're not my favorites.
I do like them because that's, I read them when I was getting more into sci-fi, so like it's a nice blend of stories I love and stories I was becoming to them.
I love the world.
I like the characters a lot as well. Like, there's two I don't like. I'm not going to say which two, but the rest of them I really love. And, like, yeah.
You're a lot more forgiving of these things.
I've also met the author, and the author is lovely. And she's so lovely. And
she's written a great, I'm not saying that this is a bad author or that these are bad books. I'm just saying, in my list of favorites, they're probably not super high up, but I love the idea, and it's loads of fun. And she's a great retailer, because Marissa Meyer also, she did an Alice in Wonderland retelling.
Heartless.
Yeah, that was amazing. Yeah. I mean,
something I still need to read. Because see, unlike you three, I've read my whole life, but I've never read as much as I have in this last year since I've started working at Booktopia. Like, and I will never be the same. And now I've become that obsessed person that my roommate thinks I have a book addiction.
You do have a book addiction.
And I keep bringing books to him, and he's like,
we all do.
He's like, stop it, you don't have any room. I'm like, but, and I never used to be like that. And so I haven't read so many books, and I'm playing catch up. So I don't have many, I've only read a few fairy tale retellings. I've watched
a lifetime of fairy tale retellings to draw on.
Yeah. See, because like, when you say, what's your favorite fairy tale retelling? And the first one that comes to mind is a movie for me.
Yeah, there's loads of movies. Yeah.
Yes, that is probably my favourite retelling of Cinderella.
Fantastic, because for once, she's not a cardboard cutout. She's actually a strong woman with personality.
That's one of the things I would like to see, that you don't usually see with these fairy tale retellings, is a switching of the gender. Like, for the female to be the beast. And
the female to be the princess.
That's been done in books. I do actually think gender flips would be a great way to get past a lot of the problems.
How would you do gender flips from Rapunzel? Like a guy with really long hair.
Yeah. A really long beard.
Really long beard. Okay, we have to write this.
Can I get some scissors and cut the really long beard off?
No,
we'll do a tangled thing at the end. Like, he'll have the beard cut and it'll become beautiful.
Can we call him Rapunzel?
Is he going to be like European? Like,
Rapunzel.
Could you imagine a Beauty and the Beast with the gender switched?
Yeah.
No, she's keeping him prisoner in her castle.
I still maintain I want to see one without the Stockholm element, because I don't think it's important to the story. I think the importance...
That's just something people focus on, yeah.
Yeah, people really focus on that. I would like to see... I mean, we're veering off, because we haven't all spoken about our favourites.
We can circle back. Yeah. We can circle back.
We'll circle back, but one fairy tale that I don't think I've ever... I've read a few retellings that stand out, but I think it could... use some more is Rumpelstiltskin.
I was just gonna say that. Yeah, I love Rumpelstiltskin,
but like I don't, but I do. Like, I love it because it's a fairy tale and they're interesting to me, but also it is not a story that you can tell retell and have it, like, it's worse than Beauty and the Beast in terms of disturbing themes. Like,
that's
who
why
wants
I
to marry a guy who's like, hey, I want you to spin all this straw into gold, and if you don't, you'll die. But if you do, I'll marry you. That's not a great love story. I'm not into that.
But we can,
and then there's a whole baby stealing thing at the end. Like, it's an interesting one. I'd love to see someone tackle it and sort of get rid of those disturbing options, but still.
Make it more redeemable, I think. So, you know, with the beast, he technically is doing bad things, but he redeems himself, and so... If Rumpelstiltskin can somehow...
No, because Rumpelstiltskin is not the dude she marries in the fairy tale. The bad guy.
But that's what I'm saying. Enough that they could get married, you know what I mean?
So like,
want a love triangle situation? Do we? We can get rid of the other guy. We don't need him.
The king. She does actually marry.
We don't need the king.
Luckily, she spun the straw into gold and didn't have to die. Yeah, I've got issues with that one, but I would like to. There's a really beautiful retelling, and it's not on my list, so I'm not sure if I'm going to get the name of this right, but it's by Elizabeth C. Bunce, I'm pretty sure, and it's called... shouldn't have brought it up because I can't remember the name of it. Something about... It's a darkly spun gold or something. It's beautiful, and it's the only Rumpelstiltskin retelling that really... jumps to mind, and you know, I'll be googling that when we finish this podcast. But
I'll put a little asterisk in the thing. Yeah. Like, that's what this book was called. At 19
minutes. I've got to learn to stop bringing up books that I haven't written down because I can never remember the names of them. But Bron, what are your favorites?
Well, I was saying, like, my favorite is a movie, unfortunately.
What's your favorite book though?
Of the ones I've read, like, I know this is dangerous territory for Sarah, but Sarah J. Maas, the Court series, right? The second one.
I love all books. I'm not going to diss a book.
Yeah. But I loved the, like, they were all good, but the second one I really enjoyed.
But the second one doesn't follow this, the...
Not the original, not the
only
first,
the first one has the strong fairy tale retelling.
But I saw the second one's Persephone and Hades, so it's
so loose.
It is very loose. But yeah.
But I think I just sort of associate Beauty and the Beast with all three, just because that's how it started. I would say I read Bitter Greens by Kate Forsyth.
I wanted to talk about Kate Forsyth.
I loved. So good. It's just completely different.
She's the queen of fairy tale retellings, as far as I'm concerned.
I was looking at her website. And she'd written a thing about why she likes retellings and stuff. And
she knows everything about every fairy tale.
She really does. And
she's got a Beauty and the Beast retelling that I really love. It's set in Nazi Germany.
Why does that not surprise me?
Yeah, I mean, I love them all. But that one's really, really great.
What a great setting for it as well, Nazi Germany of all places. Yeah. I have it. I haven't read it yet.
It's so good.
Of the ones I've read, that would probably be one of my favourites.
Tracy?
Well, I love the Neil Gaiman retelling Sleeper in the Spindle and Hansel and Gretel, which are sort of illustrated, beautiful, kind of not as dissimilar from the original tales as say, some of the other retellings, but they're beautiful. I also love the Christina Henry books because she doesn't do the obvious fairy tales. So she does Alice in Wonderland, Through the Looking Glass, and she's done Peter Pan with the Lost Boy.
I really want to read that.
And they're quite dark. Mm. They're really...
Was it what you were saying earlier? Is that they're sort of circling back, like they started off dark and it kind of went... They got sugar-coated with Disney and now they're sort of swinging back around to being dark again and going back to their roots, which I think I love. Yeah. I think that makes the characters more real.
And then this is sort of more out there, but you've got people like Anne Roquelaire, who's actually Anne Rice, writing the Sleeping Beauty story as an erotic series. Which there's a lot of authors that use fairy tales.
She's asleep. I'm
Anne Rice.
Anne Rice
of the Interview with the Vampire has written
an erotic Sleeping Beauty.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm just worried because if she's
asleep though, exactly. Yeah, that doesn't seem very erotic.
She's not asleep.
Okay, good. I was going to say that would be bad. Yeah, if she's asleep. And
so
we'll
it's
make
interesting
it
that there has been quite a few retellings that kind of make it. More, we're looking at one yesterday actually that is supposed to be a bit more of a sexy take on some of the fairy tales. So I've actually just ordered the book to have a look at it.
This is the Sally Gardner one, but no, written under a different name.
No, Sarah Pinborough, who she's done Poison, which is a Snow White story, Charm, which is a Cinderella story, and Beauty, which is Sleeping Beauty, obviously, which is meant to be sort of darker and, you know, a different take on it. So
I thought you were talking about Almond for a Parrot, which I haven't read, and I don't know, that's not really based on a particular fairy tale as far as I can tell, but it's it looks interesting and has a beautiful cover and is...
Yeah.
But we digress.
You know what they haven't? Not that I can think of. Pinocchio retellings. Like, how would you do
this? Is my
that
point.
Would be a great
my
one.
Friend like, hates Pinocchio, so anytime someone mentions Pinocchio, I just, like, think of her and her, like, hatred.
My brother said
and,
that was Alice
like,
in Wonderland.
Terrified of this.
Because at the core of that is
that's a weird that's, story. No, that's a weird story.
Yeah, but it's beautiful because it strikes right to the heart of what it means to be human. I would love to see, like, a science fiction retelling of Pinocchio.
Marissa Meyer writing.
Because we've had like the iconic thing is the nose that grows, right? So like, do you keep that or do you just have it in a different way? Like
you have it in a different way, I think.
Yeah, because I just pictured
like
a,
one thing
like
I loved about
the
Marissa Meyer one is that the Cinderella character is a cyborg and she has like a cyborg foot, and so instead of losing a shoe,
she loses her foot.
I love that. Like, there's a lot of fun to be had with this retelling. Yeah, it's great. So, okay, I'm gonna consult my list of favorites, and I can't. There's
yep,
a lot.
Turn.
I'm gonna go by fairy tale. So, I can't. I have three favorite Beauty and the Beast ones that I can't.
Gee, Sarah.
I can't distinguish. So, one of them is Beauty by Robin McKinley, and that's like the classic Beauty and the Beast retelling. She also did another one called Rose Daughter, which I also love, but if I have to choose between them, I'm choosing Beauty. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. It's just like, but
what's
it's a
context?
Straight retelling. It's like absolutely straight retelling. It's just really beautifully detailed and beautifully written and like really brings a lot of heart to it. I also love Hunted by Meg Spooner, that one that just came out this year. That was a great retelling for me. And Heart's Blood by Juliet Marillia, also one of my absolute favourites. Like, I love those three so much, and they're the best Beauty and the Beast. Now, Cinderella.
Moving on.
Cinderella, I have to go old school again and say Ella Enchanted is my favourite.
Oh, I love Ella Enchanted.
I love Gail Carson Levine, and she just has such a beautiful way of writing, and her books just like shimmer with charm and magic. I just think that everything she does is great, so that's my favourite Cinderella. Another favourite that I just wanted to shout out to, and I haven't read many retellings of this, it's the Russian fairy tale, Vasilisa the Beautiful. And The Bear and the Nightingale.
That was beautiful.
Yeah, that was a really lovely retelling.
I didn't know that was a retelling. Interesting. It is. Yeah. I love the cover. So, like, I plan to read it because of the cover, but now I want to read it more.
Well, that's an interesting one because it's one that you go into without that wealth of knowledge. Like, every time I return to a Beauty and the Beast retelling or a Cinderella retelling, Snow White, what have you, I go in with all of this knowledge because every time you read a retelling, the story grows in your mind and it becomes more textured and richer. And when you go into a retelling knowing only the Wikipedia version of the fairy tale, because I'm just like, okay, I've never heard this fairy tale. I know the Firebird's involved somehow, I feel. And then, I just don't know loads about Russian folklore. So, yeah, it's a whole different thing because your knowledge of the fairy tale is coming mostly from a retelling and not from growing up with it, and that's a cool flip side. Another favorite,
so
I know it's bad. I'll try and power through. I've already mentioned Juliet Marillia, but another one of my absolute favorite fairy tale retellings is Daughter of the Forest, which is a retelling of the Six Swans, which is a lesser known fairy tale. But man, that book is phenomenal, and it's the beginning of a whole series. And much like the Sarah J. Maas one, she starts off with the fairy tale retelling. But then the story grows and
you remind me of all these books that I've read. I need to reread them, but when will I find time?
I haven't read any of these and I need to read all of them.
So then we have another favourite, which is Margot Lanigan's Tender Morsels. Margot Lanigan is just the best, and Tender Morsels is like a sort of retelling of the Snow White and Rose Red fairy tale, which is another kind of one that you don't see that often. And it's very dark and full of violence and very creepy, but it's just also just a phenomenal read. The Goose Girl by Shannon Hale.
The Goose Girl.
Do you know that fairy tale?
No.
That is the strangest little fairy tale. It's kind of like, look, the basic story is that there's this girl, she's a princess. She's, of course. Once upon a time, I forgot the amazing element.
There's a princess.
Once upon a time, there's a girl. She's a princess. She is going to marry like the prince or king of another land, but on the journey, her handmaid or servant or whatever kind of does a switcheroony and kind of takes her place and thinks that she's dead, leaves her for dead, and goes and marries the king. Then she's like, well, I guess, I mean, I don't really know how it comes about, but she ends up being a goose girl. So she's like, how will I make money? I'm a displaced princess in a fairy tale land. I think I'll just...
She just wants to go home and be like, hey guys.
Yeah, I don't know. This is where we stumble into the fairy tales don't make logical sense. And why didn't the Little Mermaid just write on a piece of paper, I rescued you?
Yeah. Don't get me started on that. Yeah.
We didn't talk about the Little Mermaid, but anyway. The whole thing is full of crazy fairy tale elements. Like, there's a dead horse, her horse gets killed, and the head of the horse like tells her messages and stuff. Like, it's
like
freaky.
She carries it around with her.
Yeah, but of course, at the end, it all comes good, and she ends up
regaining
her place. Yeah, but and so it's a creepy story. It's a creepy fairy tale, and you know, by itself, it's kind of a little bit weird. But this retelling by Shannon Hale is one of my favorite fairy tale retellings, and it's just awesome, and again spawns a whole series of books that then aren't really fairy tale related. I think I should stop, but also just shout out to The Snow Child by A1 Ivy is another favorite. God, that was beautiful. That's just one of the most absolutely stunning, beautiful pieces of writing. And that's the Snow Maiden story, where a couple really wants a child, and so they build a little a child out of snow, and she comes to life. But
there's been a few different versions of that. I can't remember the other one that I read that I really enjoyed. It was a few years ago now. But I think that, like, you're talking about fairy tales that are not so familiar, and like a Russian fairy tale that you didn't know. Maybe there's something elemental about these fairy tales, because they've been passed from generation to generation in many cases, that tradition of oral storytelling.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because they've been refined for such a long time that we like them, even when we don't necessarily know the fairy tale. So like The Bear and the Nightingale, I didn't know the Russian fairy tale at all. But that story was still incredibly appealing. So I'm just wondering if maybe there's like elemental about these stories because they have been passed for so long. And you look at Aboriginal Dreamtime tales that are so popular.
The stories that get passed down and down through generations, you know, they just take on these like mythic elements.
Yeah.
I just think it's such an interesting, fertile storytelling space. So if you go into it, whether it's a really well-known fairy tale and your reader is going to pick it up with most likely a wealth of knowledge and a wealth of different versions already in their head, then, you know, how often does an author in a position where they can pretty much know what their reader is coming into a book thinking, right?
So
it's an interesting storytelling angle. It's like, you think you know this story, well,
but
I'm
going to
show you a different version.
I think that might be one of the reasons people love fairy tales so much is the freedom of the story that you can get because it's a fairy tale. So, like, you think of the things that you could do, that you can have talking animals, you can have evil witches.
You can switch it up. Think of the movie Shrek, where Fiona becomes an ogre instead of the beautiful princess.
It's the opposite.
You know, it's so much more fun than if she'd become the beautiful princess.
Yeah. And, like, because you can get away with so much more in fairy tales. And, like, for example, I want to give a shout-out to Garth Nix.
I was just thinking about it, because I'm like, that's another example, like the Shrek thing, where it's not based on a particular fairy
tale.
It's drawing elements from all of them.
And it's just like, we'll take this bit, and we'll just make a story. And it has the structure of a fairy tale. It's, you know, Princess Anya has a mission, like, you know, has a quest, and she's going to get the frog turned back into a prince. But it's not
just
her frog. And, like, those little quirks that I love about
it's a fairy tale palette.
Exactly.
I also just realised that I failed to mention one of my absolutely favourites.
Oh my god, Sarah.
Like, I know, but this one is interesting because I don't know, I've heard it described as a Beauty and the Beast retelling, but I don't really see it that way, and it's Uprooted by Naomi Novik.
I haven't read it, but
neither.
I have heard
people
that it
say
is.
It's Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
I guess in the broader sense there is a
very
girl
loose
and she
retelling.
Has to go into like a tower with a scary dude, but it's just not I guess it's become such a different story, and that one to me is more like a kind of like that Garth Nix situation where it's like not really a retelling, it's just drawing a lot of inspiration from a bunch of different fairy tales and creating something new. And Uprooted, oh my gosh, I've read it like 5 or 6 times. It's only been out for a couple of years.
Mark is a good book and you read it again and again and again.
Maybe I will finally pick it up based on that.
Oh, I love it.
Because I've earned it since it's come out. And
it's
I
on my
TBR
list.
Like, I've earned it since it came out. I'm not even joking.
She reminds me of, like, I put her in the same category as I put Robin McKinley and Juliet Marillia and Shannon Hale in this, like, beautifully, lyrically, gorgeously rewritten fairy tales that they're just lovely. I have no words.
Yeah.
I just love them. Like, and I'll continue to love them forever. I'm never going to get sick of them.
I love your passion. I think I'm going to have to steal that piece of paper you've got there with all those.
My list.
And I'm going to just add them all to my wish list, which is growing at a very dangerous and scary rate, especially since these podcasts. So
do you guys have, we spoke about Rumpelstiltskin, do you have a particular fairy tale that you haven't, think has been done right or that you haven't seen done that you would like?
I have a really random one. So I loved 12 Dancing Princesses, like the Barbie movie. Okay,
Julia
the
really
Barbie
has done it.
The
movie. Great.
But I didn't really think of that as a fairy tale until I was Googling, and then I found all these books on Goodreads and I was like, oh.
I love that
your first
exposure
really,
to that fairy tale is
yes,
through Barbie.
My cousins were obsessed and made me watch that movie with them like 50 million times. So like I like love that movie.
That's a
and
great
so like
fairy
that
tale.
Is one I would be interested in going and finding books on because I never really
so
thought
explain
about
it. Explain it to me to 12 Princesses Dance.
There's literally 12 Dancing Princesses. Yeah.
It's a good one.
It's
just dance.
No,
they
have
no,
to dance
they,
every
they,
night. They go and dance and the king
because,
is like, why do my 12 daughters or however many he has? There's a lot.
Yeah, they wear out their shoes.
Yeah, well, they wear out their shoes every night. And every day he buys him new shoes and every day they're worn out. So he's like presents this competition to the lands where he's like, anyone who can figure out what the hell is going on with my daughter's dancing shoes, can marry the princess of his choice. So the gardener is like, right, I'm in love with one of the princesses. I'm definitely doing this. And he follows them at night. Creepy. And it turns out they're going down to this fairy kingdom and they're dancing all night and then they're going back up.
Rowdy girls.
Yeah. So
good. I mean, is it the Barbie movie? Really good. You should watch it. Like, the Barbie movie is really entertaining. Like 10 out of 10.
I can't say I've seen the Barbie movie, but I'm sure it's amazing.
I've got to go watch it. But for a retelling,
Juliet Marillia has done it. And it's, well, and it's very charming.
Tell me
beautiful.
What that book is called after this and I will be
I horribly did not write it down, so I've forgotten what it's called.
It's fine. I will break my book buying ban to buy this book.
Sibel's Secret? Is that it? We'll be Googling this after.
Yeah.
Yes, and that's okay. So yeah, your 12 dance princesses. I want to see a Bluebeard one. Do you guys know the Bluebeard fairy tale?
Yeah,
that's a creepy one.
That's the one with the...
That's like got a serial killer in
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's why that really ties into your love of crime. So there we go.
Yeah, yeah. So this, I had a book of fairy tales when I was growing up. And it had all the usual ones in it. And then it just had this Bluebeard one that is like a bit of a... It's just one that I was never exposed to anywhere else except this one book of illustrated fairy tales. And it always used to creep me out because the story is literally that this woman marries a guy. He's had a ton of wives. They've all disappeared mysteriously. So she's understandably scared that she might meet the same fate. And he is like... He's called Bluebeard. And he says to her like, okay, I'm going away for the weekend. Here's the keys to the castle. You can go anywhere you like, but don't go in this one room.
Yeah.
It's like the West Wing.
And so, of course, what she does is what, go in the one room?
She goes in the one room, finds all the dead bodies of all of his previous wives. Yum. And, like, this is a detail.
Really?
Yum. Yeah.
That is my first
They're
answer.
Hanging on meat hooks.
Exactly.
And there's an illustration in this fairy tale book that I had as a child. Like, it's just black and white. It's not gory, but it's still...
It's dead bodies.
Yeah, dead bodies hanging on hooks in the least gory way that you can imagine. That's what I read when I was a kid, and it's kind of like then she basically just I can't even remember. So she drops a key in the blood, and it's magic, right? And it's fairy tale land. So she tries to wash the blood off the key, and it doesn't work. And that's how he finds out that she knows. And then somehow her brother arrives and saves her. Like, this is where a retelling would really come in handy. I love that.
To make sense of this story. Yeah.
Like, how does she actually get out of this?
Bluebeard, you said?
Yeah.
Bluebeard.
So is Bluebeard the...
Bluebeard's the husband. Yeah, and okay. I believe...
Because I thought Bluebeard was a pirate.
That's Blackbeard.
No, I know. But I thought that was
And then there's Rapunzel.
I really want Rapunzel
totally
to happen.
Totally different
now.
Thing.
Someone please write Rapunzel.
Oh, we didn't talk about Red Riding Hood either. That's another creepy one.
Yeah. And Hansel and Gretel. I imagine they retell that as well. Or Jack and the Beanstalk. How would you retell that?
There's a really good one. Who wrote Jack and the Beanstalk where Jack is actually a woman and a really famous fantasy writer, and why can't I remember who it was? Charles the Lynch? Is that who it was?
Sounds weird. Could be.
Yeah. Jack the Giant Killer, but Jack is actually a girl, I think.
Oh, yeah.
He's written a few fairy tale tales that I've read. Yeah, that's the name of the other one that I read of his. It was...
He should have been on my list.
The Onion Girl?
Yeah. Charles the Lynch. Great forgotten one from my list. Okay. I've got to stop just telling fairy tales.
No, that's someone else. Yeah, people want to hear recommendations, myself included. Okay, well, yeah.
I think The Little Mermaid doesn't have many either.
Yeah, but The Little Mermaid has that super sad ending in the real version, though, where she dies in the end. And Disney, like, got rid of that, clearly. Can you imagine?
And she dies in the end, because...
Little girl's hearts would have been broken for generations. But so we've got the Disney version where it ends happily, but the actual version is, like, really melancholy and sad.
How does she die?
She kind of gives up her life for him in the end.
Oh, no.
Like, and she turns into sea foam. And I remember, like, always being like, so that's your life now forever. You're sea foam.
That's not one of my favourites. Even the Disney retelling, I'm not a huge fan of.
I'm this close to breaking out into part of your world. So, like, we should be careful. No one needs to hear that.
I just think, whenever I hear Little Mermaid, I just think in Sebastian's voice. Like, I become Sebastian.
I mean, I love that Disney film, but I mean, that's kind of a different conversation. The fairy tale itself is really sad, and I think people struggle with the retelling because again, we come up against this stumbling block of there's inherent, like, anti-feminist stuff in this. Like, here, this is literally the story of someone who changes her entire being to be with a guy.
And then she gives up her life for him.
Yeah, and then dies for him. Yeah. Like, it's kind of hard to put a good spin on that these days.
But, like, you could take a completely different ending where, like, she's like, you know what, no, and then, like, is like, no, I'm going off on my own.
So, actually, this sucks.
Yeah, I'd like to see it. I would like to see it, actually.
This the thing, though, most of the classic fairy tales that are celebrated and that we have been made into Disney movies are very non-feminist, and yet, as women, we all love them so passionately. It's just, you know, like, when you're in the back of your head, you're thinking,
they all are unfeminist. Like, they often end with marrying the prince, and that's sort of seemed to be like the ultimate achievement that any woman can have is marrying the prince. So I disagree with that. But also, they were written in a time when, sadly,
that was
pretty
real.
Much the most awesome kick-ass thing you could do would be married to a rich man.
Yeah, but we haven't seen many like retellings that are really, really kick-ass and kind of change that. Even the movie apart from Ever After.
That's where the only one I can think of.
Yeah, it's the only one I can really think of. But yeah. It'd be nice to see some different.
We could do something about it.
I think
we know the authors are out there. Like, hey.
And I think we fall into a trap sometimes of saying that the only way for a woman to be strong is for her to hit the battlefield with a sword and like kill dragons and stuff. And that's great.
No,
and
mine's all about inner strength, like and like her morals and sort of sticking to her beliefs. That's more than the physical strength.
Yeah.
That doesn't do much for me really when you see that. And something like it's just a nice addition, but that's not what makes you strong.
Yeah.
And with retellings of Beauty and the Beast, like Hunted, the main character is incredibly strong. And there's strength also in even just the archetypal beauty from the old fairy tale. She's all alone, like being held captive, which I disapprove of. She's all alone. She's got this scary guy who's like constantly pressuring her to get married. And she says no. She's got an iron will. She says no every night, and then he's still able to get on friendly enough terms that he's like, yeah, go home, visit your family. I'm cool with it. So like,
you hold me down.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that it's really easy to just make a blanket statement that fairy tales are not feminist.
Mm.
And I think it's a little bit more complicated than that. And I especially feel that in a lot of the retellings where. Addressing that and flipping it on its head.
And it'll just keep going and going, and as society keeps developing, and you know, there'll just be endless stories. Like, we could have this podcast in a year and there'll be so many.
Yeah,
new
like
ones.
After we've written our Rapunzel
book. Bestseller right there, guys.
Yeah.
You joke, but I honestly think it would be great. If you write it in a Garth Nix frog kisser style, like in that sort of joke.
See, I'm imagining like a hipster prince with a super long
beard. No, that's what I'm thinking too. I was thinking
man bun. He's a hipster. He has a man bun.
But it'd be like, why is his top hair short? Maybe if it was just like a short man bun, and but his beard is long.
Because the beard's where the magic's
at. Magical beard. Beard wears everywhere. We just love it.
That's got to happen.
Okay. I'm going to wrap it up, guys. I think it's safe to say that we all love fairy tales and retellings.
We don't always know why we love them, but we love them.
I think people understand, though. And,
Give us more.
Give us more, basically. is the rule of the day. That's basically what we're going to finish with. Please, authors out there, write more. Someone write Rapunzel. Thanks for joining us, everyone. And don't forget to tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Booktopia podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on SoundCloud and iTunes. And if your eyeballs need a workout, check us out on YouTube at Booktopia TV. And don't forget, for all books featured on this episode and all episodes of the Booktopia podcast, head to Booktopia, Australia's local bookstore, at www.booktopia.com.au. Thanks for listening.